ahead.
Okay.
All right. All right. The first scripture reading this morning is from Matthew 5, verses 14 through 16. Short but sweet. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. The second reading is from John 3, verses 19 through 21. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light. Let the word of God be for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Jan. Let us be in a moment of prayer. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. What's the darkest place you've ever been in? As I was preparing this sermon, I did think about folks living in the country. We know darkness a little better than people who live in the city. I live now in the country with my son in the summer. And in the winter, I live in the city, so it takes some getting used to at night because it's so dark in the country. On the dirt road, you know the big curve is you're going to go into Montrose, and if you go straight, it's a dirt road. She had a house up there. It had no electricity and no running water. And once in a while, we would get the bus in Halsted and drive off and get off on that corner and walk up that dirt road to her house. And it was dark. And she would get the lamp out, you know, like the lamp. But it seemed so strange. I was like 9 or 10 when she took me one time. And I thought, this has got to be the darkest place in the world. There's something about the dark that's kind of scary, isn't it? Lots of people have night lights, and my son makes fun of me because I have night lights in every room. I guess it's a good idea when you get old like me, you might trip over something. Did you know there are 84 references to light in the scripture? Beginning with the third verse in Genesis, God said, "Let there be light." Ending with Revelations 22:5, there will be no more night. They will not need the light of the lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light. Pretty interesting that light is in the beginning and the end of the Bible. One commentary gives this explanation for our Matthew scripture today. Neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come may see the light. What this commentary says is that Christ and his disciples did not preach in corners, or in private houses, or in secret places, but in the streets of the city, and in the temples and the synagogues, the public places of worship, and therefore the Jews were more inexcusable that they did not attend to the ministry of the word. and this would be their condemnation, that light was come among them, and they preferred darkness. Another commentary puts this spin on it. The commentator says, I like this discussion of light and darkness, and I think that there's a lot of symbolism here that is interesting. The first verse seems to be talking about how we sometimes hide the light within us or hide the gospel in our lives, either by not exercising our talents or serving others in the unique ways we can, but also that sometimes we seem to be embarrassed of God and hide the fact that we are members of his church from our friends or our family, rather than being happy and open about that part of our lives. The other verses seem symbolically to be making commentary on how we perceive things, and also that we allow what we allow in our lives. Our eyes could be looking at the world and expecting bad things. And so that's what we see when we look around the world. Whereas if we look for the good, we will find it, and the world around us will seem much better. The part about taking heed that our light isn't lost in the dark could also be about that. But I think it also adds the idea that C.S. Lewis expressed well in this quotation. If we insist on keeping hell or even earth, we shall not see heaven. If we accept heaven, we shall not be able to retain even the smallest and most intimate souvenirs of hell. In our second scripture reading, and men love darkness rather than light, we kind of think about the evil people in the world, don't we? But one commentary says the Jews, the greater part of them, preferred the darkness, not of evil things, but let's do it the way we've always done it. We don't need a new religion. We don't need to understand what the Torah says. We're fine just the way we are. They didn't want to submit to the ideas that Jesus had. So they preferred the darkness of not knowing instead of knowing the love of God. The message that spoke to me about these few verses is a little different. I see this as letting the light become the truth. It is only when we shine the light on our own lives that we can see what the truth is. The first question is why? And this question is so important. Why do we put our light under a bushel? When it comes to our faith, what is it we don't want anyone to see? Do we question our ability to tell anyone about Christ? Do we think we don't know our scriptures well enough to claim our relationship to Christ? Are we too uncertain about our own beliefs to present them to anyone else? Is it because you are embarrassed to let people see the real you? Let the light shine on you to remind you that those are not the questions that help. Your witness is so much more than your words or your knowledge. And the second question is what? What is the root of this problem of not letting your light shine? What has happened to keep you from fully living your faith? I loved counseling, and I had a couple come in who were having a hard time with their marriage, and they were in danger of losing their house. They were getting poorer by the day. And what the root of the problem was, The woman was brought up so poor that she wanted her children to have everything. So she spent like crazy so her kids could have everything. The husband was brought up as an only child and could have anything he wanted. And with a wife and three children, he thought he could do the same. And so that was the root of how they spent their money. The truth, the light to be shown on them was to see why they were doing what they were. Are you hiding in what you learned as a youth and not willing to live where God has placed you today? Want to know something? God has created you perfectly. You just need to be in tune with Him for His plan. And the third question is who? The person who has had an impact on your life is so important. Who has helped you to turn on the light inside of you? A music evangelist came to New Milford years ago. He was so talented. He could play the piano, the trumpet, and the sax, besides sing. He told his story. He was one of five sons. His four brothers had become ministers like their father. The singer had strayed from the fold and used his musical talent and became an opening act for Frank Sinatra. Through that lifestyle, he became an alcoholic and a drug user. He lost his wife and daughter through this period of time due to his lifestyle. One day, a classmate from his college days came and showed him a piece of music that he wanted him to record. It was a Christian song, and he laughed at in his remarks that day that I listened to him, he said, "The saddest part of my life is that my father died before I regained my Christian values. He died praying that God would shed a light on me." I had a chance to speak to him after the service, and I said, "Certainly it was sad that you made some of your choices, but how? When you stand and tell young people about the danger of that lifestyle, they listen because they know you know what you're talking about. How powerful is that for them? And how powerful it was for us when God decided that all the ways in which He tried to enlist His people into worshiping Him had not worked. So His salvation plan was, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. God could have saved us from our sinful ways in any number of plans. Instead, He sent His Son, not to condemn us, but to save us. And how did He do that? He said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but in the light of life." John 8:12. And in John 9:5, He said, "While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." You know, Jesus didn't stand in a pulpit and tell us what to do. He went among the people and He showed us how we should live in many, many different situations. He shined His light on our path. Hear the scripture one more time. from the paraphrase, The Message. No one lights a lamp then hides it in a drawer. It's put on a lampstand so those entering the room have light to see where they're going. Your eye is a lamp lighting up your whole body. If you live wide-eyed in wonder and belief, your body fills up with light. If you live squinty-eyed in greed and distrust, your body is a dank cellar. Keep your life as well lighted as your best lighted room. That star in the sky 2,000 plus years ago was more than an unusual heavenly body. It was a symbol of that which world shed light on the darkness of the world. I hope today we can embrace the light, glorifying and acknowledging God in our lives, and also looking for the good. Let's let go of the servant souvenirs of hell that we've picked up along the way. Let's banish the darkness from our lives by going all out with God and filling ourselves with 100% light. Let us pray. Dear Lord, shine your light upon our path. We spend too much time wandering through darkness, looking for the right way. As we search your word, I ask you to make it a lamp unto our feet so that we can avoid the pitfalls of the world and walk safely along the path you have created for each of us. Amen.